So today I want to talk about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. I'll start out with a little story. One day, a pastor, or it could have been a rabbi, he visited a farmer who was a member of his congregation. Anybody here have a farm? Do you have a farm? Okay. As the messianic rabbi, or pastor, climbed out of his car, he noticed a windmill on the barn which had this inscription. And he began to squint his eyes and look at that windmill. And he saw these words. He's just barely able to make them out. And on the windmill it said, "God is faithful." "Do you mean," asked the pastor, "that God's faithfulness depends on the direction that the wind is blowing?" "No," said the farmer. "The words mean that regardless of which way the wind blows, God is faithful." And how true that is. Today's Torah portion is from Genesis chapter 23, starting at verse 1 through 25:18. And this portion today, and we'll go into more depth during the study today, is called Chayah Sarah, which means the life of Sarah. And from that we get that word Chayah Chai. Everyone know the word chai? Or you say l'chaim. Chai, there is life. And so this portion deals with the life of Sarah. And this first section begins with the death of Sarah. Right away. And the last section ends with the death of Abraham. Genesis 23. So it begins with the death of Sarah and ends with the death of Abraham. So it doesn't sound like it's a really good portion, does it? Just death, death. And we left at just that alone. This Torah portion would seem really sad and it would seem empty. But what's important is what is in the middle of this. What is sandwiched? Now if you, those of us who are going to the Torah Parsha study, there'll be probably sandwiches in there. And if you just have a piece of bread here and a piece of bread here with nothing in the middle, it's not really nourishing, is it? Doesn't even taste good. But what's important is what's in between, what's in the middle. Just like an Oreo cookie, right? A kid will eat the middle of an Oreo first and save the chocolate cookie outside for last. Anybody remember that? Okay, we remember that. But there's something important which is sandwiched in between the death of Sarah and the death of Abraham. And within the center of this message, we find the meat there. We find that the beautiful account of Isaac and Rebekah, Yitzchak and Rivka here. Within this portion, we see the Lord is going to teach us a lesson about faithfulness. And I think we all can learn about faithfulness. Especially me. At first, you know, death seems very final. It seems like the end of everything. And without hope of eternal life and God's promises, death is harsh, isn't it? It really is harsh. If we have no hope that when we leave this life, we leave this earth, that we're going somewhere better. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. But God teaches us that the cycle of life just continues and it goes on. God's plans and purposes and His promises go forward from generation to generation. In Hebrew we say, ledor vador, from everlasting to everlasting. And the covenant that God made with Abraham was forever. It was eternal. It could never be broken. God's covenant could never be changed. I remember many years ago when we were part of the UMJC, now we're part of the IAMCS, we went to a conference and the name of the conference was L'Dor V'Dor. Remember that, Irene? What that meant was that from generation to generation, the emphasis was that we needed to continue the vision of Messianic Judaism from this generation that we're in right this moment to the next, passing on our beliefs and our values and our principles to our youth. And more than ever, this is so crucial that we do this. Otherwise, the continued survival of Messianic Judaism is going to fail miserably because we have not trained and taught our young people. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, the Lord said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. In verse 19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Yitzchak, Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. You know, the tendency sometimes when we look in the scripture is to look for pictures and shadows and types of things. And following this thinking in Genesis 24, we see that Isaac appears as a type of the Messiah here, as the bridegroom. Rebekah here is somewhat of a type of the body of the Messiah, the church, the virgin bride of the Messiah. And Abraham appears as a type of the Father in heaven and that unnamed servant mentioned here, the one that goes to find that wife for Isaac, is a type of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who will not speak on his own initiative, but takes the gifts of the bridegroom to woo the bride. Thus, this servant enriches the bride and escorts her to the bridegroom. You know, I believe that there are many accounts of God's word where we see the types and the shadows, where it pictures the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit. And in fact, we can even draw an analogy from this account in Genesis 24. Yet we can over-spiritualize sometimes the simplicity of God's word. And people do this all the time. God's word isn't complex. Sometimes God's word is just simple. It means what it says. And we shouldn't always look for some super spiritual thing hidden between the lines. Take it for what it says. We complicate it when we try to find symbolism in every single little nook and cranny. It's like the believer who looks for a demon under every single rock and blames Satan for every problem in their life. When they're late for work or they're late for the synagogue. Who was late today for synagogue? Okay. All right. And you know what they do? They blame it on Satan. The devil made me late today. The devil made me forget my keys. The devil this, the devil. We give more glory to the devil than we give to God. And we need to stop giving him all the glory. If you spend your rent money or your food money on foolishness, what do people say? Oh, there's a demonic attack against my finances. You know how many times I've heard that? Someone tell me, oh, Rabbi Yossi, I don't have money for my rent and this and that. What'd you do with your money? Well, I bought this new dress or got these new shoes and then, you know, all these different things. That was a demonic attack. No, it wasn't. You acted foolishly. They try to cast out demons from everything, from their cars to their cats. I've seen it all. Let me tell you, I've seen it all. The point here is that we can't get sidetracked from the true message of what God wants us to hear and God wants us to learn from Him. This is because we overcomplicate the simple or refuse to accept our failings and our own shortcomings. God's word was never meant to be complicated or understood only by the learned or those with special revelation. Its simple truth is for everyone, from the young to the old, from the rich to the poor, from the wise to the simple. And in this Torah portion, if we bypass now all the symbolisms here and look for the simple truth, we see the message that God wants us to understand and receive. God is showing us this, that in spite of death or circumstance, that the cycle of life continues. And death has no hold, and death has no control over that which God has promised. If God has promised it, it's going to take place, and it doesn't matter who lives or who dies or what happens. God's word is eternal. God's promises are eternal, and God's going to follow through with what he said, what he has promised. And we have to believe that, and we have to trust that with all our heart, because God is a faithful God. His promises are everlasting. His promises are eternal. His covenants are forever and never ceasing. His love extended beyond the grave, beyond Sarah, beyond Abraham, to their son Isaac. His love continued throughout all the generations, through all the tribes of Israel, through all the prophets, through all the kings, and it came down to the time of Yeshua. God promised Yeshua, and Yeshua appeared at just at the right time that God had planned and foretold in the book of Daniel. The exact time, and through Yeshua, God's love continues to rest upon all of us who put our faith and our trust in him. Now Matthew 1:1 speaks of the faithfulness of God the Father in carrying out or carrying forth his promises and his covenant. It says in Matthew 1:1, "This is a record of the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And it goes on to say that Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And it just goes on and on. God's promises are not controlled by circumstances or situations. His covenant is not dependent upon someone living or someone dying. God's promises and God's covenants are eternal and everlasting. And when you look in Matthew 1, and you look at the genealogy of Yeshua, and in Luke, the genealogy as well from Miriam, from Mary, you see there's a bunch of wild and crazy people in that genealogy. There's murderers. There's rapists in there. There's adulterers in there. There's liars in there. Every kind of evil person you can think of who did wicked, it's part of that genealogy, because it shows us that it does not depend on circumstances or situations, who lives or who dies, who does this or who does that. God's word is faithful, God's word is true, and it's going to be completed through his word and in your life. And we're thankful for that. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, explained this very beautifully in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, where he said, and I love this verse, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord." Nothing's going to stop it. No circumstance, no situation, someone living, someone dying, nothing's going to get in the way. God is faithful. God is true. His word is eternal. His covenants are eternal. Because of God's faithfulness, we can be assured of eternal life. That's his promise. You can be assured that if you give your life to Yeshua, you live for him with all your heart, that you're going to be in the presence of the ever-living God when you pass from this life to the next. That's a promise. And he's going to prepare a place for you, a mansion for you, a room for you. Now, when I get there, I'm hoping for a whole mansion. I don't want a little linen closet, all right? Or a little drawer in a cabinet. I want a mansion. Because he promised he's going to prepare a place for me. So I got to believe it's beautiful. I got to believe it's great. I got to believe there's streets of gold. I've got to believe there's a tree of life right there. I got to believe all these things because God is faithful and God is true. And we don't have to work our way into heaven. Isn't that fantastic? Now, you don't have to go from door to door and knock on somebody's door and share with them your faith, but I recommend it. It's funny, Irene tells a story, and you've probably heard it before. The first time when she got saved and she was part of a charismatic church congregation, and they were teaching the young believers to go door to door to share. And so it's her turn, and she finally goes to the first place she's ever going to share, and she knocks, and it turns out to be a Jewish home. Can you believe that? And she starts sharing with them about Jesus, but they keep telling her, but you don't understand, we're Jewish. And she keeps talking, but no, you don't understand, we're Jewish. And she said, well, that's great, you're Jewish. You know, she didn't understand what that meant and all that back then. But it's a good thing to do. But you don't need it. Did I tell it wrong? Yeah, you always, okay. All right. You can correct it at the parasha. So you all need to come to the Torah parasha to hear the real side of the story, the truth, the rest of the story. But again, you don't need to work your way into heaven. You don't need to do good deeds to get yourself into heaven. You don't need to give charity to get yourself in heaven. You don't need to fast to get yourself in heaven. And sometimes I feel sorry for the Jehovah's Witnesses that come to the door and knock. They come not so much out of desire to see the lost saved, but because they believe they have to do these works in order to get into their heaven through good deeds. They fail to see that salvation is a free gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. But you know what? Even though I feel sorry for them, I commend them for their faithfulness of what they believe. How many of you would go door to door as a Jehovah's Witness? I'm not asking. That's just a question in general. But share it at the Bible study. Okay. But I commend them for their faithfulness. Same thing with the Mormons, the Church of Latter-day Saints. You see them in their white shirts and black ties. They're riding their bicycles and they're sharing and they're passing out their stuff. But they're doing it. Most of us won't ever leave the safety of our home to do it because we're embarrassed, we're ashamed. What does God's Word say? I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it's a power unto God for all those who believe, for the Jew first and then for the Greek. It's the power of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We should be put to shame by most of them because of their boldness and their courage and their faith. We should be embarrassed. We can learn something from them in regard to their zealousness. Even though they do it for the wrong reasons, we still need to be people who are bold for the kingdom of God. You know, the Holy Scriptures is an account of God's love and faithfulness from creation to eternity. It's a love letter to His creation, to His possession. It was written to draw men to God and turn their hearts from sin to repentance, to make teshuvah, to turn around and turn back to God. You know, in the last days, and you know, now when I say the last days, man, every day and I read the news and see what's going on, man, it's almost like I've passed the last days. It's gone beyond evil. It's gone beyond wicked. The world that we live in today is, I don't even know, it's indescribable, the wickedness of this generation. This is definitely the days of Noah again. Well, God could find no righteous on the earth. Thank you, Lord. In these last days, the Ruach, the Spirit of God, is hovering over the earth, looking for those of us who are faithful, those who are holy, those who are blameless before him, those who are willing to receive the promises and the covenants of God. He's looking for a believing remnant called out from this world to do the work of God. But God's Ruach, his spirit, will not always strive after man, the scripture says. There's a point where God says enough is enough. I believe that. His word says, choose this day whom you will serve. We need to accept God's faithfulness and promises and be willing to walk with God as Noah walked with God. We need to be, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me share another little story here. One day a gentleman called upon an old man. And during the talk, the old man presented a lock of hair. I shared this story, I think, once before, or maybe twice in years. But I'll start this again, because I interrupted myself. Don't interrupt myself, right? And don't carry on conversations with yourself. What are you, crazy? No. One day, a gentleman called upon an old man. And during the talk, the old man presented a lock of hair from the head of some small child. And the gentleman said to the old man, I presume that this is a curl cut from the head of some dear little child long since gone to God. No, replied the old man. It is a lock of my own hair. And it's now almost 70 years since it was cut from my head. Well, why are you prizing this so highly? Said the man. Oh, said the old man, it speaks to me of God and his care more than anything else in the world that I possess. Then he related the following. When I was a little child, 4 years old, I was standing near my father, watching him chop wood. As he was chopping the splinters flew here and the splinters flew there, some falling at my feet. And I picked them up. And as I was picking them up, I fell forward. And in a moment, my curly head lay upon the log just under the stroke of the axe. It was too late to stop the blow. He had fallen right on that log area, and the axe was coming down. It was too late to stop the blow. Down came the axe. I screamed, and my father fell to the ground in terror. He thought that he had killed his boy. We soon recovered, and he took me in his arms and searched my whole body from head to foot for the deadly wound that he was sure that he inflicted. But not a scar, not a scratch, not a drop of blood could be found. He then knelt upon the ground and gave thanks to God for his gracious care. Having done this, he took up his axe and found a few hairs that were on the blade. Then turning to the log, he found the curl, which you now see, sharply cut from my head. How great the escape! The angel of the Lord had delivered the lock my father kept all these days of his life, and then he left it to me as a memorial of God's faithfulness and his care. It tells of my father's God and mine. I've had many tokens of my heavenly father's love during these 70 years, but somehow this speaks most plainly to my heart. It used to speak to my father's heart, and now speaks to me of God's faithfulness. Yes. Yes, God is faithful to his word. His promises are eternal, and his covenants are everlasting. Are we ready and willing to accept God's gift of love and faithfulness and do our part? As the day approaches, and boy, I tell you, it's got to be close, for the return of Messiah Yeshua, things are going to be getting more difficult, and the world is going to become more hostile and more wicked. If you can even imagine that, it's almost unimaginable. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. I need a drink. Oh, praise the Lord. The world is getting worse and worse. We can even imagine worse than it is today. Even the body of the Messiah, the church, and its leaders are stumbling and falling left and right. But those who remain faithful to the end is going to reap the reward promised that is coming. And we need to hold on to God's promises and trust in His faithfulness to deliver on His word. God is looking for a faithful remnant of people. People that are not sold out to the world, but sold out to the kingdom of God. He's asking, is that you? Is that you? Or do I need to look somewhere else? Is that you? Or do I need to go to another place? As the scripture says, those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and you are a faithful God. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will teach us, Lord, as the days get closer, as the night is nearly over, and the day is close at hand for the return of the Son of Man, that we would be a people that are about the Father's business, operating in all faithfulness, trusting you with all of our heart. Help us to trust you, Lord, for the healings. Help us to trust you, Lord, for the finances. Help us to trust you, Lord, for the salvations. Help you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust you for every big and little thing and everything sandwiched in between. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we may see you.